is up, YouTube? It's Richie from Boston. It's the 15th. It's September. It's 2025. And I'm back in that same luxurious hotel room. I'm no longer in the bunker for now. I had to make a couple of moves real quick. I had to see a couple of people, which is all I ever seem to do. But it's all good. It's all good. Thank you very much, Journey. I didn't even ask. I appreciate it, though. What is up, everybody, here in the chat? Blue Sky, SW, stop spamming. What is up, The Real McCoy? Bear Uden, what's up, brother? Notorious DIP, what's up, James Hetzer? Pat Clark. Yeah, I'm aware. But just remember one thing. They're all on the same side. You see what I mean? It's all a big club that we ain't in. That's all there is to it. Everything is a distraction. Everything is illusion, it would appear to be. What's up, Rob B? Michelle Gamache, I think. Wendy Hoffman, what's up? I don't know how to say that. Ecuador, whatever. There it is. I stroke or L or whatever. Greg and Cindy LJ, what's up? Mike Google. What happened to Mike Google Eyes? There you go. Mikey Google Eyes. What's up, brother? Same back at you. What's up, Brockton? I got my nose broken in Brockton before. I know. Shocking, right? At any rate. All right. I got a lot to go through here, so let's go through. Let me show you this real quick, a little bit of housekeeping, I guess. But this website, where is it? Right here. As of today, Richie from Boston TV is gone. I am not keeping it up any longer. It's just a waste, an absolute waste. It was perfect because I could put anything up here, which I did all the time, completely uncensored, didn't get messed with, good to go, 5x5. But it's all coming to an end tonight because I am not paying for it anymore at all. It's ridiculous. Here, look at this. This is what it cost me to keep this stupid site up that nobody watches. You know what I'm saying? There you go. $1,100 a month. And then look at all the fees and fees and fees and fees and fees and fees. And at the end, it cost me $442. So I have to pay $1,100 worth of fees plus four. Yeah, it ain't happening anymore. I'm done. I'm not carrying that anymore. There's no need for it. It is what it is. Pretty sad, but. Is what it is. At any rate. All right. Charlie Kirk, right? Charlie Kirk. Here we go again. This just occurred in the friendliest town to Freemasons ever in Utah, or the state of Utah. This just occurred. Shocking, shocking, shocking. One after another, over and over and over. They will not stop.
And there's breaking news coming in. Two men were arrested after an explosive device was found under a news media vehicle in Salt Lake City on Friday.
Now, the authorities do say these two men could face terrorism-related and weapons charges. Now, authorities also added that the two men were arrested on suspicion of placing an incendiary device under a vehicle related to Fox News local subsidiary.
And these developments are coming in from the U.S. in Utah, Salt Lake City. Officials said that the explosive had been lit but failed to function. They have been identified as Adib.
They found the explosive device in Utah, Salt Lake City, an incendiary device. So it was probably a pipe bomb or some do-it-yourself or whatever. Who knows? Who knows? Because we'll never know the truth. We'll never know the truth from about a year ago. Forevermore. You see what I mean? But I just find it really, really strange that some sort of a terroristic event happens again in Utah, because they just pulled one off. Might as well do another one, right? Happens again in Utah. So now we've got, well, I'm going to get to it. But boots on the ground. We have to. Plus, the way the media and elected officials and pretty much everybody involved is just stirring up this left-right paradigm. It's insane, man. This is absolutely crazy. I've never seen anything like this, but I did think this would be the final result. It doesn't matter what that event was. If you want to keep chasing your tail, that's the point of a PSYOP. They want you to look elsewhere. Nobody's talking about Trump completely turning his back on every promise he made during election, and no one's talking about the Epstein files anymore, and nobody's talking about the genocide going on in the Middle East right now. Perfect. They're all worried about some dude. Some dude. And here's another fun thing. 9/11, never forget. Yeah, unless, of course, one dude dies or doesn't die or whatever, because we will never know unless you bump into Charlie at some point. They have the flags at half staff all across America from the 10th till yesterday. 9/11, yeah, we don't even talk about that anymore. You see how they're putting it down in the memory hole right now? The people that took over the United States, because that just happened. We saw that happen. We saw Peter Thiel and Ellison and Altman and all the little tech freaks at the inauguration with Trump. You remember why I kept stressing? He gave $500 billion to the richest 1% on earth, and they're all standing there. It's absolutely, utterly insane to me. I've got a lot of things open, but let's look at this, and I'm going to show you a couple of things. And I know. But let's look at this real quick. This is from Hustle YouTube channel.
And just last night, the suspect was taken into custody at 10 p.m. local time. In less than 36 hours, 33 to be precise.
For 33 hours, I was praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us.
I was amazed by how many people picked up that both the governor and the FBI director kept mentioning the number 33 in these press conferences. And I know you guys also remember how a guy shot up the 33rd floor of the Blackstone building and ended four lives.
Goes up to the 33rd floor, which is Rudin management, and begins to walk the floor, firing rounds as he traveled. One person was struck and killed on that floor. He then proceeds down a hallway and shoots himself in the chest.
These four victims included a Blackstone executive as well, but I'm sure you knew that too. But what you probably don't know is that the number 33 has appeared in some other pretty crazy situations as well. For example, 33,000 useless documents about Epstein were released to distract people when the victims were protesting in Washington. The president also hosted a dinner with 33 of the big tech cabal in attendance, including Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and Sam Altman.
You know, we don't often get together as the CEOs of the different companies, but it's good.
We don't often get together. You never get together in the White House. This is a declaration. These people have completely taken over. This is the lower level Illuminati, I would imagine, but they're making their presence known. We have never seen this before, where 33 of the biggest scumbags on earth are all in the same room. You know what I'm saying? It's absolutely a trip to me to see this even happening in real life right now. And yet here it is. And most Americans don't seem to care or aren't even paying attention or don't even know.
The CEOs of the different companies, but it's good to see everyone.
Surprisingly, Elon Musk was not there. So yeah, I can totally see why so many of you are on your guard as soon as this number is ever mentioned. But there are even more bizarre things about the Charlie Kirk tragedy that have not been explained. I didn't mention the whole mysterious drone situation because at the time, people still thought it could be a bug or a bird, but I think by now it's pretty clear this was a drone.
Apparently there's been a shooting.
The same people who recorded this video also recorded another one where you can see a bird in the frame.
So before we had a flag and...
Did you notice a difference? The bird is flying in a random, more organic pattern, and we can see its wings flapping up and down. The drone did not have any of that. Now, people thought it could be a bug near the lens, since this thing was flying way too fast, but that explanation has also been rejected, since the object was spotted from other angles as well. Now, the question is, what kind of commercial drone is this fast? Well, the answer is simple. This thing is not commercial at all. It is most likely a surveillance drone, and someone was flying it over the campus for a particular reason. What that...
Okay, I left links for that if you want to watch that on your own. I'm not going to watch his entire video, but yeah, way too much stuff is just crazy out there. It's crazy. The people in the back, remember the guy tipping his baseball hat? Well, he only did that once. That was a loop. That was a loop, believe it or not. And if you recall, when it first occurred, I said, why would the guy standing directly in the line of fire be giving signals to the shooter when he's standing right behind the target? It doesn't make any sense. Turns out it doesn't make any sense because it's not real. It was interneted after the fact. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to show you a lot of that right now. But which one? Which one? Here we go. There's a lot of links open. You see this one? Wait a minute. Oh, my bad. I just figured this out right here and now. Dude, this black dot was on his shirt the entire time. I just noticed that just now. The entire time he was speaking. Go back. Actually, stand by. Watch this. Watch this. Stand by. That was easy. That was incredibly easy. Watch this. Give me one sec. All right, here we go. This one. Let's watch this, because I was looking at the dot on his shirt. It's right there. You see this? This is on his shirt the entire time. The entire time he's yammering, he's talking. And it's probably a DJI mic, if I had to guess. The magnet on one side and the microphone on the other, but whatever. It doesn't matter. But you see the mysterious black dot that everybody saw? Well, there it is. And when he starts moving, so doesn't it. But on that, I'll digress, you know? Why kill a good conspiracy theory with what's right in front of you, but whatever. All right, here we go. Back to this again. My bad. There's the black dot right there. You seeing it? There's the black dot. Now watch. It simply moves. And when you speed it up or slow it down or frame by frame, it looks even more ominous. But it was there and it still is there. Speed it up. Move it back, speed it up, move it back. Black dot appears to be under his shirt. Now, the ring on his finger, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you because the footage that I originally got before, I mean, I got the footage right away from a tactical shop, okay? Somebody that he follows this stuff because security, tactical things and such are his job. He sent me this right off the rip. My ear's still blocked up, which is just insane, but whatever. And I didn't see any rings in it, but whatever. I don't know. You don't know what the internet's done after the fact. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to stick to my guns. It doesn't matter whether he got shot or didn't get shot. They're presenting it as such. It doesn't matter if the girl in the subway got stabbed or didn't get stabbed. It doesn't matter. People are wasting so much time on this, and that's exactly what the PSYOP is. Charlie getting shot right there, in a real world where we had real government, real police, and everything wasn't owned by the Illuminati and these technical scumbag people, nobody could ever get up on a roof to shoot Trump, but they did. No one could ever get up on a roof to shoot anybody in Utah, but they did. That's what they're telling us. But in real life, that could never happen. They're just doing what they got to do to make you do exactly what you're doing. Because look at this. Look at this video right here. This is insane because this is absolutely nothing. And most of you with eyes to see should be able to see this. This was just posted right here, and it is crazy. See if I can find it. Stand by, stand by, stand by. Which one is it? You're out of here. You're out of here. Okay, it's called Look at This. Where is it? This is this right here. Look at this news break right here.
Dabu 7. And I want to share with you here one of the craziest clips I have seen yet connected.
Okay, I can't take his voice. But see this guy standing in the crowd? He's putting his hand on his shoulder strap. And Dabu is intimating that he's got a pistol in his hand, a secret handgun, and he's going to shoot. The minute the shoot goes off, he's going to shoot out of his hand. But as you watch it, you will plainly see, and most of the people in his comments have figured it out, nothing's happening here. But why not make it a video? Why not get 1,400 thumbs up? You know what I mean? Why not? Why not? Nothing else to do. There's nothing like Epstein. There's nothing like the New World Order taking over the United States and the world right now as we speak. There's nothing like them passing bills to get rid of the dollar right now. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, look at that. That's a gunshot, according to... Watch this. Watch this gunshot. Holy cow. Yep. He ducked slightly and moved his arm. Watch this again. Let's do this in slow motion so you can see exactly how much of a nothing this is. This is laughable, but it's nonstop. Nonstop. Watch this. Puts his hand on the rail. Oh, he just shot somebody. No smoke, no fire, no nothing, no nothing, no nothing, no nothing. Because you know why? It's nothing. And you know why it's nothing? Because none of this matters. The end result. If you were related to Charlie Kirk, if this somehow affected you, cool. And you've got nothing else to do, you're doing exactly what they want. This is a PSYOP. It's always a PSYOP. Once they labeled it with 33 numerous times, once the governor came out instead of the FBI director, he stands behind him like a little kid with his cross eyes looking around. Once they came out and labeled it, and once they gave us the story is completely just like every other story. But I'll tell you what, you know what didn't happen? There wasn't a great resurgence of 9/11 questions, because that's the newest major atrocity, because over a million people died because of 9/11. And the transfer of wealth, everything that's happening now was made possible by 9/11, and they wanted 9/11 off the chart. Never forget, until Charlie Kirk, and it worked. I don't care about Charlie Kirk, to be totally honest. I looked up some of his stuff, and it seemed like at the very end, he was definitely changing his tune. So for him to go or whatever works out perfect, because it shuts up people talking about Gaza Strip. It shuts up people talking about the Epstein files. People aren't looking at Trump so hard for completely showing his true colors 100%. And most people are just wasting their time looking up for little things that will never make a difference whatsoever at all. You need to pay attention to things that are happening right now, because things are happening right now. They're getting ready to pull the dollar under a thing called the Genius Act. And it is, well, anytime Trump names anything, you should know it's a bad thing. Big, beautiful bill, etc. But on that, I guess I will digress. But a lot of crazy, crazy stuff's going on right now. So let's get into this real quick. Because once again, the government's like, look. Look what China did. They're threatening us by showing off their military.
China held its Victory Day parade in Beijing, marking the end of World War II, and they unveiled a ton of new military hardware. They rolled out, literally, because this was a parade, and even aircraft were on trailers, laser weapons.
Let me tell you, for everybody in the chat or anybody that watches this that's been in the military, take a look at what they're showing here. You're seeing a lot of hypersonic missiles and such. This is a channel called Task and Purpose, and all they do is quack about the military and how great our military is. But here's the deal. Here's the facts. First of all, China's our biggest enemy. China's an ally, just like Russia, just like everybody. New World Order. They all shut down the world for the same reason, and they did the same thing to their citizens, period. Never forget that. But these boys rolling out this technology, and with the amount of people that they have, this is insane. This is insane. And the reason I'm showing you this is while everybody else is paying attention to Charlie Kirk and people with secret handguns and drones in the sky and et cetera, our government just turned around. Since Obama was in office, we decided our military was going to start encircling China and making sure China did what we said. Well, a funny thing happened along the way to band camp. After China did this military parade, our government, the Pentagon, put in paperwork to completely stop our military from messing with China 100% and turn their focus inwards. Do you know what inwards means? It means to us, inwards, boots on the ground, because they're getting ready to pull this at any given moment. Our government saw that parade, and of course, Trump's like, they're threatening us. Actually, China was celebrating the 80th anniversary of losing 23 million people fighting off Japan in World War II. Something you never hear about. We lost, what, 87,000 people in World War II? China lost 23 million. And Russia lost like 16 million because they're the ones that actually stopped the advance of the Nazis. China dealt with Japan. And that's all they were doing. And that right there, that's a show of force. That's called a deterrent. And it worked. Because on paper, our Pentagon, 2 days after that entire parade or show of force occurred, literally changed. Like, yeah, we're not going to mess with China anymore. We're just going to focus on North America and South America. So we're going to sit outside of Venezuela. And, you know, we've got ships out there. We've got troops out there. We've got the Marines out there. So we're just going to sit out there until somebody does something and we can go in and attack because we want to steal their oil. Period. That's the real story. They don't care about drugs because everybody in government gets rich off of the drugs flowing into this country. You see what I'm saying? It's not new. It's not new information. It's a trip, man. But that's exactly what's happening. That entire thing that Trump just had to tweet about, because Trump stays tweeting. Trump stays with the tweets. Oh, they think they're going to backdoor us, them, China, Russia, and India. We're the only ones that are attacking everybody at all times to the point where people cheer about it like it's a team. I don't mean to bum you out, and I'm a veteran. We haven't won a war since World War II. Since World War II, we were the last one to the party. Everybody else was already holding it down. Russia, China, Great Britain, not France, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? We haven't won a war in years, yet we're constantly at war. People think, America, we've got the best military. Dude, this is no joke. Look these numbers up. If we ever went head-to-head with China, it would be a naval battle because of that wacky ocean between the two of us. And they could take out our aircraft carriers with their hypersonic missiles way faster than we could replace them. It would take us a year in the United States because they sent all of our shipbuilding elsewhere. They sent everything into other countries. It would take America a year to replace three battleships or three aircraft carriers. And China can do nine of them in a month. In a month. So we ain't messing around with them, man. After they get every single piece of value they can out of the United States of America, and then China shows up after the Civil War, just like Barack and Michael Obama showed us in their movie, Leave the World Behind, then they'll come in and destroy the place and divvy it up, which is why they're selling it off right now to China, Saudi Arabia, and everybody else that wants to buy, Bill Gates, and whoever else, who even knows, man. But it's crazy how many people are still fawning over this and pulling the threads and this. I never said it was real or not real, but it sure looked real to me. And I got the footage before it started getting out there. I did not see his ring move fingers in the original footage. And if it did, there's AI going on. Something's going on. Why didn't they have a medic instantaneously right there? If he's wearing armor, there should be a medic right there strapping him up right off the bat. A shot like that, you need a tourniquet around your neck, which is awful lot like a hangman's noose. But instead, they threw him in a car and drove him someplace. A medic could have done more on the ground in 30 seconds than that five-minute drive did whatsoever at all. Carotid artery is spurting. You only got so much blood in there. Pretty soon, you're just an empty bag. But on that, I will digress. I'm going to stick to my guns. Whether it was real or not, to me, doesn't matter. It looked real, but I can't prove it, and nobody else can either. And with AI, we can't tell what's real whatsoever at all anymore. And people that are chasing the minutiae of that, have at it, because there's a lot of other things going on that are going to affect you a lot more than Charlie Kirk getting shot. They're already doing more fun activities. There's already more activities in the same state all over again. But let me digress. All right, here we go. Melissa is absolutely right. All predicted way before I was born. Yeah, me too, man. Me too. It's crazy. That's the main thing. Whatever happens next, do not comply whatsoever at all. Just do not comply at all. Yeah, I suppose, stranger. I suppose. You don't see me posting every 15 minutes, you know, with updates just to get the motion on my channel. I don't care. I don't care. Well, the fun part is it's already, nor did I, it's already getting really ugly out there because you've got Charlie Kirk memorials where people are showing up, knocking things over. That would probably be crisis actors and Antifa or whoever it is. My phone. Here. Watch that. All right, I'm back. Isn't that obnoxious? As soon as I get live streaming, people do that. But you are not even kidding me, dude. You are not even kidding me. Do you know who's in here right now? Do you know who just jumped in as my phone freaked out? Will from The Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. I haven't had him on a live stream, and I'm going to say 11 years. So I'm going to pull him up. Hopefully this works out well. Hopefully he's allowed. He might have to bail. There's no T in Richie Hangster Gangster. He might have to bail because of family obligations, but let's see what happens.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, dude. What's up, brother?
Good stuff. Right on, man.
Right on, hey, man. I am so stoked.
Yeah, me too. No, I've been watching the clips, so I feel like I'm tracking with everything you're saying, man. So,
well, go ahead.
Thanks for having me on. But yeah, this is such a crazy time, and you're so spot on. Just the fact that like there's so many little Easter eggs and so many little. At the end of the day, it makes no difference whether, you know, it was an elaborate hoax or an elaborate hit. The end result is the same. And the crazy thing about this is just seeing so many people, like we've seen this so many times, right? Where you use a media event, this is like trauma-based mind control 101, right? Where people, and that's what they got. However they got it, whether it was CGI or whether he just really bled out in front of the world, that is what has triggered everybody and then all the reactions. And it's all, everybody is so running on emotion, right? Whether it's grief, whether it's anger, whether it's disgust at the way people are talking about, you know, being happy that he's dead. That's all by design. And so I'm totally with you, dude, that regardless of all the details, I mean, I hadn't seen that last clip that you played of the guy from I actually saw a different clip that somebody sent me last night from like a side. Yeah, I think it certainly wasn't a high powered rifle from my perspective, but all that is kind of immaterial. At the end, it's all about the emotional response on both sides. Like you said, the right left paradigm, and they got everybody divided and everybody distracted and obsessed with the whole, you know, with the whole thing. And meanwhile, the whole agenda is just moving right along. So I'm totally with you, dude.
I agree. I didn't have any skin in the game because I was familiar with him as much as I guess most people. But when I saw him, I'm thinking to myself, we've seen, dude, how long have we been doing this? You see people get to numbers and heights like him. They're in the system one way or the, I mean, it will surround you. They don't let you get big enough to make a difference. And if they do, they're going to use you. So I don't know. I saw some videos of him actually putting Israel out there straight up. I saw him talking about Epstein and the connection to Ghislaine's father and how he was buried on the Mount of Olives. You know, that's reserved for certain people in a certain club only, but it doesn't matter. The end game is it works against us. That combined with the guy stabbing the white girl from Ukraine with a knife that seems to disappear while five people are sitting right there and they don't seem to react at all. And with the advent of AI, dude, we can't tell what's real anymore, bro.
It's the context of everything. Just from the past 2 weeks, you had the Catholic shooting incident and then the subway stabbing, all feeding into the same reactionary, you know, narrative of, you know, the left just being the ones behind. So it's amazing because it's like, yeah, this is crazy that it happened the day before 9/11 as well, because it's like, yeah, this is what they've been moving, working towards ever since 9/11, where you had the whole invention of the terrorist, you know, the war on terror. And we've known for years and years that it was about bringing that back to the home front, where domestic terrorism is going to be the threat that the government is, you know, going to provide the solution for. It's that problem reaction solution. I feel like we've been saying this for, so many years. It's just, you start running out of ways to say it, you know, but here it's just happening in front of our eyes, and it's kind of insane. But at the same time, the key thing is not getting sucked into that, that reactionary mode to where, you want the government to step in and censor all the hate. You know, it's just amazing, because like for the past 4 years during the Biden administration, it was the other side that was all about policing the hate speech, right? And now here we are, all the people who've been like appalled at cancel culture and you know, doxing people and wanting to go after people, you know, this whole idea that like speech equals violence. Well, guess it's totally flipped, like with a single event almost. Now everyone's on board with the very thing that they were supposedly against. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the power of media. That is their greatest weapon, the media.
I got to tell you, I mean, I finally got an opportunity to meet you and your son at your place. What was that, about a month ago?
Yep.
Apparently Will is very concerned about security, because he gave me his address and it brought me to a house that I kind of imagined that maybe someone like us that's considered conspiracy theorists would live in. I drive down this street and the whole street is lined with RVs and people are just staring at me like I just drove onto the set of Mad Max. And then I get to the address and I drive down this long gated driveway that has nothing but signs saying no trespassing, stay out, this house protected. And I'm like, well, he doesn't sound like this kind of guy, but maybe he is, you know? And I sent him a video and he's like, I don't live there. And I'm like, well, then where do you live? The number was off by one.
I typed it.
It literally brought me to somebody else's house, but it was a pleasure to actually.
I'm glad you didn't go knock on the door, because
I wouldn't have been able to. I would have had to jump the fence, and the fence warned me.
Yeah,
protected by Smith and Wesson, and I believed it. So
yeah, that's good on you. Yeah.
Let me ask you: do you think this was done specifically? Because I don't know if you were listening before you jumped in, but I cannot imagine that for the first time since 9/11, flags were not flying at half mast because of September 11th. Because 9/11, never forget, remember? Well, now they were flown at half staff from the September 10th till the following Sunday in memory of some dude, Charlie Kirk. Just another guy. Nothing to do with September 11th anymore. We're all too upset about Charlie Kirk. I've never seen that done except for someone that was a president.
Do I think it was planned for this? Yeah, I mean, you know me. I don't believe in coincidences. I mean, there's all the 33 Easter eggs are weird enough. I feel like all
those that's weren't even Easter eggs, Will. I mean, they just blurted it out.
It's like even the normies kind of know about the 33 now. And that's where I think the timing of it's not on accident, not just with September 11th, but in the context of everything with all the Nick Fuentes stuff a few weeks ago and Candace. So, I mean, there's a long, if you just go back for the past 6 months with Tucker Carlson and all these like controlled opposition people, where like, what is the narrative about Israel? I think that's almost on purpose at this point. And that kind of gets into, I mean, that's probably even more controversial than talking about the shooting thing, but that's kind of where I'm more curious about, like, what are what's the theological agenda? How does this all fit into this with everything that's going on with Gaza? And almost, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. Like when October 7th happened, it was pretty much an obvious, false flag event from day one. I didn't really have to comb over every detail again, because this is what they've been talking about for years and years. And of course, as soon as they got the Gaza emptied out it's all about the West Bank and just rolling forward with all of that. So there's nothing really to like figure out, but the question that I have is like, is this really kind of how that they're basically going to try and play out the Christian Zionist, you know, playbook, if you will, because I no longer believe in Zionism, even though that's kind of what I was raised around. But that is the whole narrative that is fueling this relationship, this perceived relationship between America and Israel and kissing the wall and all this stuff. And now it's like, yeah, they're making it so obvious and so egregious that's kind of the part that I wonder about, like how that's going to play out in both geopolitical and you know, the implications of potential World War III, but also just in terms of spiritual deception. And that's the part that I think is most important, because I feel like it's real easy for people to get fixated on, you know, you can either blame the left, or you can blame the Jews, or you can blame the Zionists, or blame, you know, you're looking for an earthly enemy rather than a spiritual enemy, which is what the Bible talks about. And that's, I think, that's the part that I keep coming back to more and more lately, is all of these psyops are ultimately designed to get you fixated on a human enemy. And even though there's all this stuff that's coming up with the panopticon and the digital, you know, the digital dollar or the digital whatever, maybe it won't be the dollar, but the digital system, you know, this is all a means to an end, is kind of how I'm looking at it. And so, yeah, being prepared, being prayed up, and just not getting caught up in trying to, yeah, fight an earthly, like it's all about trying to get you into a carnal mentality and a carnal mindset, rather than, I think, fighting for hearts and minds from an eternal perspective, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where I'm still trying to not get sucked into that, because we all do, you know, we all get caught up in it.
I've never seen people get sucked into the minutiae of this so bad, you know what I mean? Yeah, if somebody's not a mod anymore, there's a reason, okay? All right, I can see the comments. Let me just put that out there real quick. I'm well aware. But, see, that's a good distraction. I appreciate that. This right here. So prior to this, just days before, China had their military army. And, of course, our government's like, see that? They're threatening us. China's like, actually, you just did the same thing when you became president, which you've never done before. And we're actually doing it because it's the 80th anniversary of us losing 23 million people in World War II. Something no one ever even talks about. You know what I'm saying? China and Russia lost a lot of people fighting that war that was funded by both sides. But whatever, we don't talk about that either.
Right.
2 or 3 days after China's parade and Trump's little kid tweets, you know, his Elon Musk-esque tweets, look at China threatening us. Where are your pals, you know, backdooring us, Russia and India or somebody like that? All of a sudden, the Pentagon stops their plan that Obama actually put in place to kind of encircle China to get ready in case they ever got too big for their britches. Well, the Pentagon just dropped that completely, and now they're focusing on the homeland. So yeah, our military is going to focus on us for now to keep us safe. Well, you know, because it's all about peace and safety at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Did you see that?
Oh, man, did I? I can't remember. Yeah, I saw that. Dude, the weird thing about that parade, the Chinese parade, I feel like some of those, the hypersonic missile, and it was like that stealth. Some of that stuff just looks like models to me, like big, giant, full-size. You know, how much of this stuff is even real? I don't even know, but.
Well, a lot of that stuff is very real. A lot of it's very real. I looked at it as well, and I would imagine some of them could be fake, but these are the guys that make everybody's weapons. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was looking up the statistics on a couple of military channels, which I was showing right before you came on, and it said if we ever went to war with them, it would be a naval war because of the ocean. And with their hypersonic missiles, they could take out our nine. We have nine aircraft carriers. And it would take the United States a year to rebuild three of those because we don't have any shipyards. We got rid of those pesky things. We don't need those anymore. And China could replace three of them in a month. Oh, no, I'm sorry, nine of them in a month. So they could outpace us all day, every day. But at the end of the day, China locked down their entire country just like we did, just like every other country. And I can't get away from that because they must. I mean, how did we know it wasn't real? But none of those countries knew it wasn't real. They're all in this together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's weird is that, you know, since COVID, there's kind of no excuse because, yeah, we'd never seen anything like that where it's like every country that we disagree about all this other stuff. And yet they all were lockstep with the same protocols and the same. I mean, there was a few countries that were. What was it like Norway or something? Maybe there's a few that were not quite as intense, but yeah, Russia locked down, Israel was one of the worst, right? They had one of the highest injection rates of the whole world.
Well, that's what they told us at least. Yeah. But yes, that's what,
that's a good point. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't verify that myself, but you know, since COVID it's like everything has been accelerated. And then yeah, just the fact that like if you really step back and think about what are the odds that suddenly AI is released in 2022 or the large language models, you know, they use the word AI for everything, but
yes,
ChatGPT and all this stuff just suddenly pops up right after, you know, everyone's been locked in and everyone's using Zoom and telecommuting. I mean, this is not a coincidence. The timing,
it's like it was a plan.
It's almost like they couldn't have done COVID without cell phones and without,
right,
you know, just all the technology that didn't exist, you know, 5-10 years before that. Nobody would have put up with it. Nobody would have, it would just would not have worked. And so yeah, now we're already, and then now it's like, yeah, AI is just sort of becoming normalized, even though, yeah, dude. The more I kind of hear about the whole the data center issue, it's like the more I bumped my microphone. The more I wonder if like how much of the AI narrative is just to have an excuse to build all these data centers that are just, it's just economic warfare for the sake of water and power. And I mean, do they even really need this many data centers? Who even knows? But it's crazy that all this is going on at the same time. And well, yeah, you got China, Ukraine, and Venezuela. It's yeah, none of this is a coincidence.
Well, here, this is a good one. If you're building data centers every place for exactly the reason you're saying, why would you build them in Nevada, Arizona, the middle of Texas, where it's incredibly hot? These things, the whole point of a data center is it's just it's a computer the size of an Amazon warehouse that needs to be cold at all times. You know,
it'd be cheapest to build them like up in Alaska or something. But I read that it's because they say the latency, they need it to be closest to where the population centers. I don't know if that's, you know, makes any sense or not. But yeah. The amount of energy that these things, there's just no way our grid can even support all the things they want to build. And you're like, yeah, maybe that's the whole point. Maybe it's just part of this asymmetric warfare, economic warfare.
Yep. And it's already hitting. It's not in the future. It's already begun right off the bat.
Oh yeah.
I sat down with somebody this weekend who's been building data centers and didn't even know it for the last 10 years. For 10 years, they've been building these things. They just get subcontracted by somebody else. They build them under a code name every time. And all they're doing is building a steel frame for it, basically. You know what I'm saying? And then after the fact, everything's compartmentalized and they have people come in and, you know, people aren't allowed on the property. But it's already happening because I've covered the fact that everyone's electric bill is going up by, you're going to be shocked at this, everyone's electric bill is going up by 33%. And their water bill's gone up by 11%. And some people can't even get water out of their taps because of these data centers that have just taken all the resources. It's like they're sucking every last worth thing of value out of the earth before they make sure they set off the Civil War. And it looks like they're trying to set it off now.
Well, maybe it's something that they figured would be an easier thing to get pushed through under the Trump administration versus like the green, you know, because the green agenda is doing the same thing in places like Europe and elsewhere. But yeah, Trump was all about drill, baby, drill. But, you know, we're not like you were. I think you were saying in your last live stream, you know, we went into Iraq and you'd think that we would have we'd go back to super cheap oil. But somehow that never seems to happen. The oil just, you know, we never see the benefits of that.
We actually said it. We weren't spreading democracy that time. We're invading. So we invade the place quickly, straight to the museums. And then we've got all the oil, and then our gas prices quadruple. And people are like, America, America, you know, like we're the best. They're not paying attention. And someone just said, pay attention. Yeah, Venezuela, they gotta get their oil out of there. That's all it's about. Did you see our military just nuke judge, jury, executioner? Oh, it's a drug boat, and they just light it up and kill everybody on board. That's not a good precedent, man.
I haven't seen the footage of it yet.
Say it again?
I haven't seen the footage of it yet, but...
It's an incendiary device of some sort. When it hit the boat, then it went up. But, I mean, that's crazy. They could have just... If they had sights on them, they could have arrested them, but it was just easier to take them out with a drone. And when I saw that, my blood curdled. You know, it's like, that's what I'm expecting anytime now. Because they gave us all our channels back, myself, Gons, Press for Truth. They gave us all our channels back. The only reason I can imagine is because they need to continue data farming. They want both sides. They want us to be talking about what we are right now. They want to see what the comments are saying, and they need it to feed this thing. This thing is just a never-ending golem that needs all of our resources, all of our attention, and most importantly, all of our time. That's what they want. That's what a PSYOP is. You can't get time back, man. You know this. It's crazy, dude. Crazy.
Yep.
So let me ask you, what made you make that last video? I watched it yesterday. I sent it to about three people. I watched it yesterday, yeah. The beginning was a trip, dude.
The movie? H.G. Wells. I'd already started making that video like a week ago, but I didn't quite know where I was going with it. All I knew was like, this is some crazy technocracy, you know, programming. And I think I covered a different one of his stories because H.G. Wells, he wrote a ton of books, and he was not, you know, he was pretty open about his views wanting a one world government. So I think he did The Time Machine, and I forget a bunch of other ones, but I'd never seen this particular movie until like a couple weeks ago. And yeah, it has that line about like the fraternity of efficiency, the brotherhood of efficiency, the fraternity of science. And I was like, okay, I gotta clip that part
of efficiency.
I know, like, how crazy is that? Like, we just had the Department of Government Efficiency, and it's like 90 years ago. This movie came out in the 30s, dude, and it predicted certain things about certain things were like uncannily, dude. There was another really weird thing that I didn't put in the video, but when I was doing the research, there was a New York Times review of the movie when it came out. And they actually, at the end of the review, it said, I guess they didn't really like the movie, but he said, I guess there's nothing left to do but sit back and wait for the Holocaust. He wrote that in 1936, before World War II had even started. He was talking about World War II and called it the Holocaust. I was like, that's insane. But yeah, so H.G. Wells was... He was tapped in. He was, you know, he was a Fabian socialist and who knows what else. But yeah, I just thought it was fascinating because of all, it's just, you can see how it's like technocracy, transhumanism, you know, at the very end, it's all about, we're going to go to the moon and explore the, so, you know, our destiny as humans is just to like conquer all the laws of physics and space and time, basically become gods, you know? And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Just cause it's one of those like out of their own, you know, mouths, out of their own sort of propaganda, you know, captains or whatever, you know, one of their famous science fiction guys. It's basically like showing you what the real message behind space travel is, which is transhumanism. And I've been talking about that for years. So, and then the Charlie Kirk thing happened. I was like, all right, yeah, technocracy, digital surveillance. I guess I'll just kind of combine the two. And so that's what happened.
How crazy is that? You're making a video of that magnitude. And I put up a live stream first thing in the morning thinking to myself, well, here they go. They're burnt. You know, they just shut off. You wake up in Nepal and all of your social media is shut off and all the kids, all the Gen Zs burn the place down and start killing people. I thought that was a problem. And then 20 minutes later, the Charlie Kirk incident occurs. You know what I'm saying? This is just nonstop, never ending. And when you talk about that movie from the 1930s talking about the Holocaust, it just brings the Balfour Declaration to mind because they mentioned the number 6 million before the war even starts.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. But you talk about stuff like that and you might get taken out or CGI'd or AI'd or what? Who even knows anymore?
Oh, yeah. Well, that is, yeah, like you said, it's so... The whole AI thing now makes it both ways because it's like, yeah, before I finished doing that longer video, I was, you know, I had gotten some video from some friends and I was definitely seeing the ring moving from the ring finger to the pinky finger.
Yeah.
Along with other. And to me, it looked like the dot on his shirt moved and up to his neck. And it was like the same dot somehow became the wound. And so I was kind of just obsessing over it. And then I was like, no, I'm glad I stopped myself from putting out a short video on that. Cause it was just like, ultimately, yeah, you don't know what's been doctored after the fact. You don't know if they're just putting that stuff out there as just a honeypot kind of a thing. And it really does require kind of self-control to just not, I mean, basically everything about this whole suspect that they've arrested, I can't believe anybody even believes a word of it, but even the footage that we have that was, you know, captured from all these different vantage points with AI now, it's like I there's no reason to think that they couldn't like put AI effects on top of the live footage in real time from multiple angles. I mean, who even knows?
That's what I was thinking because I was ready. I already had a live stream lined up prior, so I was already going live, and then that occurred. And I looked at it really quick, and like I said, a friend of mine that has a YouTube channel, but he's a big tactical security guy in real life, sent me the footage, and I'm looking at it, and he's like, he's wearing an AR-500 plate. So then I went, you know what? I don't really know this guy. I don't really trust this guy, meaning Charlie Kirk. I just kept thinking, what's the end result going to be? They're going to use this just like the, you know, strangely enough, black guy kills innocent white woman from the Ukraine on a bus. They're going to use this and they are. They absolutely are. They're using it already. It's already working like a charm. Yeah,
it's a Republican George Floyd. I mean,
big time.
How good else call. You describe it?
Crazy, man.
In terms of absolutely crazy. In terms of the emotional. Yeah, dude. I mean, we all saw like how they mobilized one half of the whole, you know, the other side 5 years ago. Now this is what they're trying to do. Who knows how? And that's the question is like, because I've had people get upset at me and be like, well, all you're doing is focusing on what Satan's doing and all that. And it's like, you need to be, you know, we need to be able to be appreciative for how God can use this event. And I'm thinking, you know, because, you know, like apparently people are going to church and looking to, and it's like, okay, I'll grant you that. Like maybe I'm not gonna, if an event like this, where they're, what's behind it is causing people to stop and think about their own mortality and think about like what the purpose of it all is and to think about God, then Amy, I pray that he does use it. That's, you know, and so I'm trying to be careful not to, you know, not to disparage that or not to become so cynical, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, You go back to I think church attendance was up after 9/11 too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that 9/11 wasn't 9/11 and that it That's wasn't right. ultimately used for all the purposes that we see now. So it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm not trying to be this calloused, you know, cynical. I hear you. Conspiracy
You're talking
guy,
to the right guy. I hear you, brother.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like
everyone's like, bless Charlie. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't go that far, you know. I mean, I don't have any ill will, but if he
absolutely. It's horrific no matter what.
No matter what.
It's horrific because regardless of the specifics, I don't think it's there's little confusion over who is really behind it. And it's not some lefty nut jobs, and it's not just a singular nation state. It is the quote unquote deep state that Trump now made a mainstream that didn't used to be mainstream before Trump.
He just sat them all down. They all just sat down. The lowercase Illuminati literally just sat down in the White House, all 33 of them, and had dinner. We've never seen that. Never seen that.
Like they're talking about the technocracy out in the open and getting everybody on board, and that is what I think has to be front and center. And there's all kinds of tragedies going on, and you know, I'm not telling people not to grieve about it, but at the same time, we don't have time to just get caught up in the emotional reactions, whether it's anger or, you know, weaponized empathy, I guess. Because, what do you think COVID was except, just a massive project of weaponized empathy? Like, don't kill grandma. Think about everyone else. They got the whole world to lock down themselves without firing a shot.
That's right.
Weaponized empathy and through just lying through the media. That's how powerful media is. And then turning themselves into guinea pigs you want to talk about diverting our attention. I had some dude email me like he had some whole big theory about breaking down the gematria and the decoding the distance of the height of the building that the shooter supposedly jumped off of and how it was like Antichrist revealed. And I'm like, oh my word, dude. Yeah, this is what people do. Like they get so obsessed with all the 33s and all the Masonic symbolism. And it's like,
all of us have gotten way too many emails. I watched about 10 minutes of Dan Deck's live stream, cause he never goes live. Press for Truth. And he was basically apologizing to everybody because they were yelling at him because he's like, he believes it was completely true. He's you know, rest in peace, Charlie. I'm not going that far with it. The quid pro quo was that event combined with the shooting on the subway allows Trump, gives him an excuse to put more troops on the street, which he's already started doing.
He was already doing, and you've made that point.
That's what I'm saying. Which he was already doing, man. This just gives him more room for it.
The fact that there's been so little reaction to that from his base was already like that. That's historic. Like, we've been through like the whole Jade Helm thing. We've been through all this different stuff. We've been talking about martial law for years, and to where the point is, people are so numb to it that now that it's finally happening in the name of we talked about this when you were visiting me, right?
Yeah,
that I don't even know if I told you this, but like I read something a few weeks ago that in the town next to where I'm at, they're building a new National Guard like station or a post where they're going to live full time and be supposedly, you know, close to where they work. And it's like, we have a National Guard base in the suburbs of Portland. Okay, like they're normalizing martial law. They're normalizing soldier policing,
and people are
on top of all the tech, you know, the use of drones and all the other digital surveillance stuff. So it's like, we've been talking about this for a long time, and so I think all that stuff together has probably why we're so like, okay, I get it. We're trying to be sensitive. But at the same time, yeah, playtime is over, y'all. And just because, you know, I understand that people, I'm not trying to, you know, shame them for wanting to make America great again and care about their country and be patriotic and but yeah, I think
it's order out of chaos. They made the country to where they can now say, let's make it right? healthy. We've been poisoning you for years. You know, and you could eat you and people have been warning you, we've been poisoning you. We've been doing a terrible job on crime on purpose. We've been flooding the country with drugs on purpose. But now we're going to fix it, but we have to use the big stick now. And everyone's like, well, that seems reasonable. And they don't get it. You know, they just don't seem to get it or don't want to get it. Because I understand hope is it's a powerful thing. They hope Trump's going to fix things. Trump is one of them, man.
Yeah, if you take nothing else away from what we're talking about, is like Trump is, if you're still trying to put your hope in Trump and think that he's keeping his enemies close. I had people literally telling me this in the comments, you know.
Me too, brother. Me too.
I still want to think. And it's like, you need to let that go. Because otherwise, you are being ripened for compliance with whatever the next thing is. Whatever the next, and who knows, but it's hard to not think that, like, yeah, the next big thing will not be just another fake pandemic or whatever, but it will be the big financial reset, which is like
the Genius Act,
the stable coin. It's like we've been tracking all this stuff, and it's all we're right on the doorstep.
And you know, Putin came out and ratted him out, because I think all the entitled Western American or Western elites are going to try to reshuffle. They're going to dunk the dollar. They're going to reevaluate gold, and they're going to try to lock a bunch of their partners out because they're scumbags. They have to do that. And Putin kind of mentioned that, like, these guys are getting ready to completely put up this make-believe stable coin and drop everybody's bank accounts to zero, reevaluate the gold to where it belongs, because it's only at $42 an ounce. Gold's at $3,500 right now, or something to that effect. Yeah. They're getting ready to do this. And these are in order to do that, you need troops on the street. So now they're making the circumstances where they can put troops on the street.
Bottom, it's like whatever the reason is, I mean, it's hard to think of what else it would be other than, yeah, a complete financial collapse / reset. But they're putting these troops on the streets city by city for a reason. They're putting them in place for civil unrest, and you need to be ready for that and not just, you know, thinking that you might not have to, you know, endure at least a few weeks of crazy times or crazy, lights out. You know, you need to have your, at least some kind of basic bug out plan. At least
I agree. I've been ringing that bell for years, Will. We've never been through this before. We don't know how long it will take. If you live out in the country, it might take quite a while. You know what I mean? Like, nobody knows.
Right.
They have to do this. They haven't been running our national debt up to these insane numbers that if our national debt was anything close to this when I was a little kid, people would have actually went to Washington, D.C. and burned it down. Now people don't even care because it's just a number. You know, money's not backed by anything. It's we have more. We can just print more. Yet people are homeless, people are hungry. Well, we can't print money. We can't print money for that. I mean,
even if they did go burn it down, is there anybody even in there anymore? I don't even, you know.
No, I'm hip. What I'm saying, it's, you know, people would care. No one even cares.
No, I exactly. Yeah. So that's where it's kind of bizarre that even having been kind of following this for so many years, just seeing it finally going on is surreal.
It's surreal. We talked about that when we were face to face, man. I never thought we'd still be alive, to be totally honest.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Or that it would be in some ways kind of happening in a way where it's not just coming out of the all at once out of the blue overnight. It's like it's gradual enough, at least, that like we can see what they're doing with normalizing. Yeah, this is not about fighting drugs in Venezuela. It's not about fighting crime in the cities. It's not about deporting immigrants. Those are all pretexts. And that is an important thing to understand, that like all, yeah, the government is not doing all this for our benefit. And that's, you know, that's not a popular ear tickling message for people.
Right.
And I'm not trying to tell you like how to live your life or how to prepare, but just, I think it's more about, yeah, mental and emotional and spiritual preparation for whatever God might have us go through. And this gets back into theology and eschatology, which I think I actually got more pushback my previous video talking about eschatology than I did about, you know, this whole false flag event or whatever, kind of this whole tragic event, whatever you want to call it.
The last video you did, people are probably going to have to watch twice. And to be totally honest, when I watch your videos, I always watch them twice. Because you get pretty deep, you know what I mean? And I don't have the attention span. So, I mean, without a doubt, I watch them twice and I always share them. You know who I share them to. You know exactly who I send them to. So
I'm trying to keep the rock music within reasonable limits as well. But
oh, no, dude, that's the part of your – it's all good. That's – I don't know about
no,
that.
No, I'm just saying that because there's – I do get – I always get some pushback for that. But that's just how I
– It is. That's how you paint, brother. That's how you cook.
That's how I
was just, there we go. Before we went live, I was on the phone with somebody that we both know, and I said the same thing. I'm like, dude, I can make a video where I can turn my music down as I'm getting ready to speak. I said, but Will can – make the music rise like a movie, and then he'll put the president inside a Christmas ornament and make it look right. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that. So don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop.
I don't think I'd still be doing it if I was just wasn't able to try and be creative with it. And that doesn't mean it always works, but I think it's just, I don't know. It's my own.
It's how you cook, brother. Don't ever apologize for it.
Yeah. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. I get that's the thing. It's like I understand. Not everybody.
Well, you're also being shadow banned. I told you that when I was at your house. You're without a doubt being shadow banned. They're not letting your channel grow, and you never crack 20,000 views. It's ridiculous. Because I repost your video and it gets more views than you do. That's shadow banned.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. But yeah, dude, I appreciate the I've actually had a lot of people, you know, coming by and saying they're checking out my, you know, my older videos, and it's been pretty cool to just kind of be seeing a bunch of new faces after you mentioned one of my videos a few weeks ago. So yeah, dude, I appreciate it. And
it's all good.
You know, I have people all the time because yeah, the notifications don't work and people are like, where have you been? And I'm like, I've been here. They're about once a month for a year or two. And
no, you've stepped it up, man. You're
lately hitting. I'm coming out about once a week. So
yep.
I think that's going to help too. Cause people are busy. So
I was trying to do the same thing. I was trying to catch the algorithm a little bit on Jailbreak Overlander because it's the only channel they've ever let me monetize. Just as I got three videos scheduled to upload, Charlie Kirk happens. I post a 20-second short on Jailbreak because I thought it was important. But it showed the whole thing. And then my comments are like, so are you trying to get this channel taken down in record time? And I'm like, I pulled the video down. 2 hours later, YouTube hits me with a takedown notice. And I'm like, you took a video down that I deleted 2 hours ago? How does that work? So I'm in trouble for a week now.
Oh, good grief.
So I'm trying to fix the algorithm, and I get a guideline strike, so that doesn't help ever.
But you didn't – but did you say anything that you didn't say on your RFB channel?
No, I put it on Jailbreak because I figured it would reach more people. I thought it was important. It just happened, you know?
So they monitor that one differently than your other channel?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I can say whatever I want on RFB, apparently. I can say whatever I want. I've said gays. I've said Jews. I've said it. You know, I say whatever I want.
Oh, yeah.
That's their data farming. I'm familiar. The
monetization changes so much, I think. And that's what
that's when you see people.
That's probably the only reason I even still have a channel is that I never monetized. So, you know, that's crazy. But yeah, man, I'm glad for whatever reason, I'm glad that you got your old channel back, and you know, hopefully that you keep going with the Overlander one too, because I was glad to at least see that up in the interim. But yeah, that sounds like you were talking about earlier, your private your website.
It's just not Disney Watson TV.
Does that not even make sense anymore at this point?
It cost me $400 a month to keep that website up. I make $1,200 off of it, and they hit me with so many fines. I owe them $1,600 every month. And I just noticed it today. I'm like, wait a minute. Does this mean you're taking $400? They're like, yes. And I'm like, take it down. Just forget it. It's not worth it. I never pushed that channel when my channels were still up because I never got my big channel back. That was the channel I wanted. They will not give that channel back. 3,000 videos are up on that. And I never pushed RFB TV because I didn't want to charge people $1.99 a month. I felt like I was ripping people off. Turns out I should have said something. Hmm. But it is what it is. What are you going to do?
Well, man, I'm just glad that you're still, I mean, that was what was so cool, man. Just meeting you in person and just, it was great. We were just reminiscing like over all the stuff that we've kind of now seen happen since we were, you know, first talking, whatever year that was. And
I think it was about, is this make 20, sense? 11 years ago, because I didn't even know how to do audio. Our audio was terrible. And then I got mad at you. And I didn't talk to you for 5 years, which is normal.
I think that's, I probably deserved it though. I said something snarky in a comment, and if so,
I don't know if you did though. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure I did. I think.
Oh,
I,
all right. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. No, I pushed a button for something, and but that's the thing. It was like after all the COVID lockdowns, and then you were like commenting on my channel again, and I was just like, I was so happy to just see. Like in the midst of all these different things that people have reacted to, and it's like, for better or for worse, man, it's like, you know, you have kept your eyes on kind of the big picture and not gotten sucked into all the bull crap and chasing views and chasing trends and chasing like, oh, what's everybody going to want it? Cause you know how it works. It's like,
you know what's
going to get, you know, the biggest appeal, and you aren't going there. And so that's what I think has just been so refreshing is that, like, you know, yeah, you're not sugarcoating stuff for people, and you're not, you know, we don't agree on everything per se, but I feel like on the stuff that matters. And yeah, man, when you got baptized earlier this year?
It was.
2025 has gone so fast, dude.
Like, dude, it has flown by.
But that was just like, that just made my heart just, oh man, I just felt so much joy, because it's like, I've just been seeing God, you know, working in you and through you. And it's not, yeah, it's because we're just, you know, these imperfect people who we fall down and he picks us up, and he's, man, it's just so amazing to see the goodness and faithfulness of God in the midst of all this evil and all this, you know, that's what I think has just made it worth it to just continue to point people to him. Cause that's where that's the only place you're going to find hope in the midst of all this at the end of the day. And we don't know how much time we have. And so, yeah, like if this event helps people stop and think, like, you don't know when your last day is, and you know, we should be living every day as if, you know, it could be our last, and we should just be not be so obsessed with clinging to the things in this world that you're not going to take it with you anyways. So how do we use the resources and the blessings that he's given us for the time being to, you know, to bless other people, to try and protect other people, to try and, you know, free people from the lies of this world, then, you know, there's what else, what better thing could we be doing with our lives than just, you know, giving it up, it back to him. And yeah, I think it's just so awesome that you're able to drive around and meet different people from all over the country and just encourage them and really kind of be an example for like how the most important thing that we can really kind of develop in terms of surviving and dealing with whatever may be coming down the bend is each other. And that's the resource that I think if you're going to talk about earthly resources, then that's the biggest one after knowing God. So
I agree. And we were talking, you just mentioned that 2025 has flown by. It has flown by so crazy fast. And things like this, I think some people took it wrong based on the comments and emails. It's not that I don't care about the event. I do, but I didn't know the guy. And if I did know the guy, chances are I'd be like, how come you aren't going hard in the paint, dude? You've got the audience. So I'd have a problem with him right off the bat. But all I wanted to see is there. I already saw that they started doing this. I already saw that 2025, right out of the gate, Elon's car blows up in front of Trump's tower. Day one, the guy is burned beyond recognition. He's a special forces military guy. He was burned so bad they couldn't recognize him. But fortunately, they found a passport right there with all his information. So they knew who it was. And I'm like, wow, that's one hell of a calling card. They want you to chase every single solitary thread. And yet people have to understand it's fun to do it. It takes up your time. But that's all the social media is supposed to do. It's to suck up your time that you can never get back. Ever, ever, ever. We don't know. I mean, live your day, live your life like tomorrow's the last day, because one of these days you'll be right. I think Sinatra said that, but it might have been somebody more more fancy. I don't know.
He may have said that. Yeah. Wow.
At any rate. What do you got? Anything? You got any burning desires here? Anything you want to cover real quick while we're here?
Oh, man. I gotta admit, I'm ready to just. I need a break from the. I've been pretty plugged in because I was making that video and there was like stuff coming out that I didn't even have time to look at. But like, yeah, it's hard. I feel like I need to just go take a day and, you know, be in the woods.
Do you feel guilty when you stop paying attention to the New World Order's progress?
No.
Good. Because you were saying earlier, you know, that God's guiding us, things of that nature. But I'll tell you what, before I did this live stream, before I do any live stream, I pray. And I pray to God, please help me in word and deed. And whatever happens, no matter what I say, no matter how stupid it may be, please let me glorify you, you know?
Hmm.
The world hates us for this. Our family doesn't like us for this. Doing this stuff could have picked a whole different genre. You know, we could talk about other YouTubers and make all sorts of money. No problem. That means YouTube, they'll give you millions of views for that.
Dude, all you have to do is talk about Disney, about Star Wars. I could be, it's like,
you can talk about how come Star Wars hasn't put out a new movie. You can talk about how come Star Wars' old movie sucked. I saw your video and I'm actually familiar with that. How grown men our age are complaining about Star Wars.
I can't get over that one, man. The amount of energy they spend, the same amount of energy fixating on things that they know are made up.
Yep.
And it's like, if you're going to do that, you might as well at least, you know, turn that attention to the things that are even supposedly real in terms of, you know, but no, you're going to be mad at like the entertainment world and this whole escapist fantasy. It's mind blowing, dude. How many millions of people are watching videos about all that stuff every day? Yeah. And that's all part of the Matrix and part of but that's just like one sliver of it. Right. It's just the internet is a trip.
It's a trip.
You can't
I see channels that get 50,000, 100,000 views in the first 30 minutes that they put it up. And it's always about nothing.
Yeah. I know.
There's nothing of consequence. It's not going to help you in your life whatsoever at all.
At all.
In any way.
Complete pure fiction, and everyone knows it's fiction, but
yeah,
they're all up in arms, and it's like that's their culture war. It's like it's a fascinating little phenomenon, but it's also, dude, I got depressed after I was looking into the Disney adults thing, and it just gets weirder the further it goes.
And you're looking at this, talking about these people that are grown-ups, that are more grown-ups, go and visit Disney World by themselves with no kids because they didn't have any kids. They go there, and you and I both know what Disney really represents, what they've really done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These people, if they were at least complaining or even alluding to that, I'd give them a little bit of juice, but they're not. It's insane.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of microcosm of our whole culture. Yes. And it ties in. This is like, it's cute and kind of funny, and it was kind of a clickbaity way of really looking at like this is the result of eugenics. This is eugenics in action, where you normalize the idea of not having children, not having a family, and just being entertained and going to some pretend amusement park. You know, I haven't been to a Disney park in decades, but it was like people really still do this. And there's a whole bunch of them now. You know, there's not even just the Disney ones, but it was just fascinating to be seeing like how it is like the brave new world, or it is like, you know, where people are just living
and entertaining ourselves to death.
Yes. And this is just insane that this is going on at the same time as like, yeah, people getting, you know, massacred by drones in Ukraine, or what's going on in Gaza. This is all going on in the same world. And we're so, you know, everyone's just kind of in their own little, you know, they're like, what do they call it? Main character syndrome, where it's like, yes, everyone's the star of their own show. I feel like the internet in general kind of
did that.
It's like, oh, I'm the star of my own show. I have my own podcast. I have my own thing. And it's just everything kind of revolves around me and my social media, you know, existence.
And they made so many people. They made so many people that weren't offering anything of value whatsoever at all, except jumping around or doing something stupid. They made them millionaires.
Yeah.
It's astonishing how many people I've seen, like Rumble offers them $100 million to stream. And they sit there all day doing what we're doing right now, but all day with 50,000 people doing the same thing, sitting on the other side, watching you doing nothing all day. It's insane.
Or like, I could never understand like watching somebody else play a video game. Like,
I don't get it, but it's a huge thing, dude.
But I guess that's how old we are. I guess. It's bizarre, but
I'll tell you what, one thing I was going to do if you didn't come on, I found this guy, and his name is Professor Jiang, Jiang, and he's a professor, hence the name, and he's from China, and he's got a bunch of videos, but he's got one that calls Israel wants to unite itself by breaking the world.
Is he the one talking about the secret societies and the?
Yes.
The
how did you know that, dude?
I've seen this dude.
I watched his video, and he said the same thing I said. He said Israel is just in the background, killing people. It's a blood sacrifice, especially the children. They're doing it for a reason, to raise up the new world order, to bring in this complete beast system. They need blood spilled at all times. That's Israel's job. And fortunately, Charlie Kirk's death just completely memory hold Israel. It just memory hold 9/11, and it just memory hold the Epstein files for now. Not that they'll ever come out. No one's ever going to get in trouble for that. But go ahead. You knew this dude?
I didn't watch that video, but I did watch a different one, and it was basically all about how he's espousing the Gnostic gospel. It's the New Age gospel. And so it just straight up in like 30 minutes was or 20 or 30 minutes was just how like the story that you think that there's the exoteric understanding of the Bible and the esoteric. So he's defending the Gnostic occult beliefs of the New World Order while also, you know, exposing the New World Order, which we've seen so many times with like David Icke and so many of those guys, like the whole Zeitgeist phenomenon,
it really 9/11. Took me off guard.
But he came out of nowhere. I only kind of saw him like a week or two ago for the first time, and he's like, he's getting tons of views, but it's all the same thing because people, they get their whole paradigm shattered, and they're like, oh, you know, dude, with after COVID, there's a whole new wave of all these people that are waking up to this stuff. And so just like people with 9/11 and with whatever else, they're in that prime receptive state of like, everything I thought I knew was a lie. And so that's when the new age false teachers come in and, they seem like they know what they're talking about because they're talking about all the conspiracy and the one world order and the world government and especially Israel. And that's where I think, this whole coming back to the Israel and eschatology thing, I think this is all by design. And I'm not quite sure how to articulate what the end game with that is of basically throwing Israel under the bus. And they're basically the bad, they're the bad, the black magic versus the white magic kind of it's basically that whole,
I found him today. So I was going to discuss it in this video. So I wasn't catching any of that yet. It takes me a couple of times. Like I said earlier,
he's got the very colorful thumbnails with like the all seeing eye and stuff. Right. I've only seen a few of them, but.
Well, the one on Israel really got me because he said Israel's putting themselves in this position because it's the river theory. If you're losing a battle, a general will always back the troops up to a river. So it's either you fight to the death or you drown in the river. And he said that's what Israel's doing right now by openly killing children and going, hey, what can we do? What can be done?
Professor Zhang, I'm pretty sure this is the same guy I'm talking about. Yeah. Professor Zhang. Zhang Cramps. The Secret Gospel. That's the one I watched from 7 days ago. So what's so secret about these secret societies? On his clips.
Can Will come back? Well, it's up to Will. I've invited Will here a bunch of times, but he's got a lot of activity at home to deal with. So I'm just glad you're here now.
I appreciate your patience with me. It's all good, I've been wanting to do it, but I'm in my garage right now, actually. So
it's all good, man.
It's been working good, and it's just more of just the time difference and
if the creek don't rise and the good Lord's willing, and I mean that literally, I will be making my way back to your area again. So I'll swing back through. I'll obviously let you know, but
I hope you do, man.
I'll try.
And now you don't have to go all the way to whatever part of Portland that was.
What are the odds in a million years I go to the house that's one number off and it looks kind of like this is where a conspiracy theory
got one number off, but it was in a totally different county. So yeah, it was my bad.
It's all good.
He was so cool about it, but I felt terrible.
Oh no. If I was pissed, I'd be pissed. It was all good. I'm like, oh, wrong address. At least it ain't here. At least Will's not driving some big shiny Cadillac with I forget what the weird license plate was, but it was odd. I'm like,
yeah, you told me.
Sound like Will.
No, that sounded like a pretty sketch part of Portland. Not that a lot of Portland.
Oh, it was. It definitely was.
Where all the Winnebagos are. But I think they're cracking down on that stuff too.
That was one of the things I was going to cover in this. If you didn't show up, was the homelessness, the bill that he passed. And I mean, did you see the Fox News thing the other day where they were talking about we got to get rid of these homeless people, whether they want the help or not. We just got to lock them up.
That's another part of this whole ICE thing is that you see all the conservatives talking about we need to bring back
the Gestapo
mental health facilities or just insane asylums.
Well, did you hear what he said? One of the hosts said we need to lock them up if they won't take the help. And the other guy said, or just give them a non-consent lethal injection. And just kill him. He said it right on the news. And then that's the same news show that Trump sat down and said, we got the shooter from Charlie Kirk. He sat right down with these people. And the guy's never, to my knowledge, he still hasn't
dude.
Quit or apologize. You can't say kill homeless people because the government's making people homeless. You know what I mean? Like they're Palantir's buying up everybody's houses. I mean, I'm sorry, Blackstone Black is buying Rock up everybody's Blackstone. Houses.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to get like real, you know, I don't know, dark or whatever, but it's, I was watching something just the other night. I couldn't sleep and I was, you know, I don't know how I came across it, but it was some channel where he was interviewing people. I forget what city it was, but interviewing people on the street who were talking about how, you know, like, yeah, my friend disappeared. I can't find him. And just the whole idea of them being disappeared and taken off to camps of some kind or facilities. And apparently this is something that has been pretty prevalent belief within the homeless, you know, community for years. And I've been, I think especially since COVID and having seen how many people you in, it's like how easy it would be to just, cause they're always having to move, you know, they set up a camp one place and then they do a sweep and then, yeah, it would be so easy to just disappear people on a regular basis because they're always moving around and nobody's checking up on them. You know, they have no family they're the most vulnerable part of the population is the homeless population. And yeah, dude, it's chilling just to think about like how dark it could really get in terms of, yeah, that's kind of the, like the whole model, right? Is that you just like cram people into these urban centers, then you make it so expensive that they, you know, that there's a certain percentage that just fall through the bottom, you know, yeah. You're living paycheck to paycheck and then you're on the street and then that's where the drugs come in. And once you're, you know, addicted to fentanyl and you just, that you can't function, then yeah, nobody, that's how basically they treat you.
Right.
That's how society is being programmed, especially if, you know, if you live in like one of these big West Coast cities where people just see it every day and they're, it really is kind of like the zombie apocalypse in slow motion. With the fentanyl and I forget the name of this other, there's this other drug that goes with it that literally like starts to, they use it to kind of cut the fentanyl, but it I've seen people with it here, even in, you know, my little suburban, you know, corner, but where it just starts to eat the flesh like off your bones. And people are walking around with like, they literally look like zombies and, you know, with the whole fentanyl, it's just horrifying. Like the way, you know, this is, again, this is all part of that, like asymmetric warfare, the economic warfare and the, you know, yeah. Who's the one bringing all the drugs in? And, you know, yeah, we sound crazy when we're talking about all this stuff as being a coordinated, you know, agenda, but it's a coordinated agenda. Like there's no other way to put, there's no other way to walk away from it. Having seen it over the, you know, how all these things work together. And yeah, it's crazy. Cause yeah, the whole idea is to just kind of make people numb and callous and just to see them as subhuman. And oh, we need to clean up these streets. We need to make America great again, but you're coming up with rationales for, yeah, all these horrific kinds of New World Order agendas, these FEMA camp type kind of, you know, protocols, but it's just a way of you can market them in ways that people go, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, we got to get rid of all the immigrants. We got to, or the illegal, you know, the migrants, we got to get rid of all the, you know, the crime. We got to clean up all the, you know, all the blight. And it's like, yeah, problem, reaction, solution. So it, like, yeah, I mean, maybe this is hard. It's, if you live in one of these cities where you know what I'm saying is, You go over the whole, you've seen the whole country, dude. So you know,
I have, and I'll tell you what. Since COVID, I think I've mentioned this in many, many videos. And since COVID, I have never seen so many people in their 60s that should be retiring on the side of the road holding up signs. And these aren't your average homeless looking folks. These are just seniors that don't have any money anymore because they can't pay their property taxes, their water bills, etc. Like you can't own anything anymore. You can buy your house all you want, but you're still going to rent the land for the rest of your life. It's not what this country was set up for. And not enough people stood up when the time came. And now it's too late. We're already to the other side of, we're already forgetting about 9/11 because Charlie Kirk, you know, it's crazy. Right? Well done. Well done, though. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
Well done. It checked off a lot of boxes all at one time. Epstein's gone. No one's talking about Gaza. 9/11, never forget, unless something else happens, and then boots on the ground. And then things are already, two Pakistani guys are trying to blow up a Fox News truck. That's odd, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of boxes were ticked at one time, brother.
It's crazy, too, because I keep thinking about, did you ever listen to Russ Dizdar back in the day?
I met Russ Dizdar.
You did?
And I'll tell you what.
Did we talk about this?
He shook my hand. I met him when I was doing security for Anthony Patch way back in the day at some conference. Okay. And Russ was speaking. And I got to sit down with him. I had dinner with him, L.A. Marzulli, a bunch of dudes. But Russ is the only one I wanted to really talk to.
Right.
He shook my hand, and his hand basically almost reached my elbow. And when you looked in this guy's eyes, you could see that he literally stood face to face with demons, because that is what he did.
Right.
You could see it in his eyes, man. He was the nicest guy I ever met, but he was telling us about the Black Awakening. You know what
that was the level of stuff like early on where I was like, okay, I can track with all this other, you know, research, but that was the part that really freaked me out for quite a while. Like just the idea of, you know, his book, The Black Awakening, right? Where there's just the whole thing of programmed multiples and MK Ultra, but then it having this spiritual dimension to it. And, you know, he used to talk about like, the whole plan is to unleash people, these programmed demonized individual, just worldwide, and all these different events. He would just talk about this over and over again. And now it's like, we have seen this so many times, and it can be, and of course it can always be, you know, presented by the news as something. It's never going to be like spiritual. It's always going to be like, whether they're going to put it in a racial context or a, you know, political context or whatever, but it's like, ultimately you can have all these demonized, you know, agents, essentially these mind control kind of, you know, provocateurs or whatever, to do all kinds of things. And so it's just bizarre to kind of see it like unfolding in so many different ways, but it's like, it's literally just like what he talked about. And then it was just crazy that he died so unexpectedly during COVID too. That really made me sad.
Yep. I'll tell you what, too, man. 9/11 changed everything, but then COVID changed everything. I mean, 9/11 changed everything as far as America, what it was, now what it is. And then COVID turned us into TikTok. You know, people just giving up all their time to stare at a black scrying mirror all day, every day. It's astonishing. Right. This is what I do, and I spend as little time as humanly possible using technology. You know what I mean? I try not to. When I'm driving, I listen. I listen. Mm-hmm. That's it. So, and I do a lot of audiobooks. I just did the audiobook on the guy that, I guess, Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, all those dudes flew this guy out on a private jet to this place because he builds underground bunkers. And he wrote an entire book about it, but there's only one chapter of relevance. And their main concern was, when we do this, when this event happens, and the people that we hire to protect us find out that we did this event, how do we stop them? And he's like, well, you can't, you know, just don't do the event. They're like, well, we have to. We have to. We've got all the money in the world. We could make the world beautiful and still be the richest people on earth. We could fix everything and this could be perfect, but we're not going to. We're driving it into the ground, and then we're going to destroy it. Then we're going to hide underground, even though we all have spaceships. But we all have underground bunkers. Yeah.
They got spaceships.
Yeah, they do. Well, space is fake and gay from what I've heard. Basically. Yeah.
Yes. I've heard this as well. But yeah, man. That's so crazy that I don't even know if you told me that story before, that you actually got to meet Dizdar.
I don't think we had time. I told you I would have filled you in when he came back. But yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And you could see the pain in his face when he was explaining it. You know what I mean? Everybody else that was there was basically there to get money. You know, God told me a message. I'm the point of the spear. So come meet me and pay me $188. And I'll tell you what God told me. Russ wasn't one of them. He was just passing through, and you could see in his eyes that he has seen evil and he's fought it to the best of his ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great guy, in my opinion.
It's just not a message you come up with as a grift, you know?
Right. No, at all.
You can think it's crazy and out there, but it's like, this is, yeah, it's so disturbing and kind of like horrifying just to think that the enemy is functioning on that level to where it's like all over the world, and it's people that it's not like how you imagine it. And yet that's what's just so bizarre. It's just the more as time goes on and you see like half the time you're like, is it really? Because yeah, these people who are all under the influence of Satan in one way or the other, and they're all being used. And so at the one hand, there is like an overarching plan that is very coordinated and very, it's bigger, it's multi-generational, and it's not even a human level conspiracy. It's so orchestrated, but at the same time, it's always kind of eating itself and contradicting itself. And it's almost like you look, the more you learn about all these politicians and CEOs, and it's like, they're just overgrown children who you're like, is it just pure incompetence? And, you know, like you look at all these characters for Elon Musk and you're like, it's because it's ultimately not being orchestrated by human intelligence. And so
Elon Musk was put in place to do a job. And I believe he got caught up in the clout
which they always do.
So they were like, you know what? Get him out of here. He came up with Doge, and Doge sadly did just what I thought. All Doge did was it snuck into the White House and it stole IRS, Social Security, and everybody's medical records. They got it. They gave it to Palantir and they threw Elon out because he was acting like an asshat.
Yeah.
And he's acting like a child, dude. It's crazy.
His stage presence or whatever was a weird energy that wasn't working. Yeah, just jumping up and down. That was weird. But
and what gets me is everybody thinks that he invented the Tesla. It's like he bought Tesla. Every single transaction he made himself the inventor somehow, and people just let it slide because who cares? He's a useful idiot.
Yeah,
you know.
But that's kind of how I basically see, Bill Gates and
Alan,
Peter Thiel. They're not.
Peter Thiel is not a happy guy.
They're all, this is like what DARPA has done over and over again, is just create a company and create a narrative. I mean, the fact that they even made a movie about Zuckerberg, you know, and how he invented Facebook and stole it from the Winklevoss twins, it's all theater for the sake of putting their projects out into the mainstream so that it looks, you know, organic. And it was all just, you know, the market kind of developing on its own. And it's like, no, everything from the iPhone to the social media, this is all, from my perspective, all part of, a plan that was ultimately being driven by non-human intelligences and agency, which is the only way you can even understand all this is from a biblical perspective and a biblical understanding of you know, the true battle that we're in, which is against the forces of darkness, and understanding that the only power that can stand up to that is Christ. And you know, whether we, you know, whatever it doesn't mean we're not going to be. For ultimately, it's like, I don't like the idea of thinking about persecution or hardship or, you know, pain and suffering. But I feel like I'm always coming back to that of like, we can't be, we can't be so unwilling to look at the Bible and see that sometimes that's what God might have us go through for the sake of his purposes and his plan. And, you know, taking, you know, fighting the fight isn't, you're not going to fight it with, you know, the weapons of this world. And that does, but at the same time, you have to understand that, like, yeah, they want to disarm the public for a reason. And it's not like an either or thing. You can understand that there's the physical realm and just the practicalities of like how they're trying to lock us down and use all these different avenues of warfare. And yet at the end of the day, you know, yeah, without Christ, all that's kind of for nothing if you're just fighting for this life alone. And so it's hard to keep the balance, you know. It's hard to keep your eyes on the big picture, but you know, he's faithful, man, and he's been, it's crazy to just see it all like playing out, even though we see us through a glass darkly, you know. That's one of my favorite verses in scripture. But you know, then we shall see as we are. At one point, we will stand before our Creator and our Redeemer, and all these questions and all these things about that we've been arguing about for years, whether it's cosmology or, you know, world history, and it's like it's going to be all be revealed to us, and questions that we didn't even think to have, and we can have a confidence now that knowing that like nothing is catching God off guard. And that he has seen the end from the beginning, and he goes ahead of us, and he is with us, and that, you know, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And that's what I, you know, I'm trying in the midst of this to stay focused on just the basic gospel truths and not get so swept up in my all the theories or even in my own, you know, wanting to understand things like, you know, Genesis 6 or, you know, all the stuff that we get sucked into, where it's like these things really can pull us away from just the simple saving truth of the gospel. And that's what I think, you know, Russ Dizdar was pretty awesome, because he did bring it back to like the gospel and understanding that like that's what the enemy is. You know, the enemy is after people's souls ultimately. And yeah, we're just passing through, and yeah, we have to just be willing to, like, you know, be obedient to him, to whatever he might have us go through as a generation or as an individual or, you know, on whatever level. So
I agree. But you just say it much better than I do. So well done. Well done, man. I've done as much as I possibly can to wake people up. And it's hard when things like Charlie Kirk show up, because people want to chase that. And it's like, as bad as that is or isn't, or who knows, let's stick with what we can see. And they're just making moves every single day. There'll be another event tomorrow. Every day there's another event to keep us busy while they're assembling all the pieces, man, all around us. It's crazy.
Yep, I agree. I know. It's like, that's the other thing. It's like a week from now, let's see how many people have been, there's, you know, how long this is probably going to last longer than the typical.
Oh yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I was already thinking, I'm like, this one's going to have legs because people are already acting the fool in the name of the left or right paradigm in Charlie Kirk's name.
It's going to be people doing more things as a reaction. And then that, cause yeah, half of the PSYOP was the lefties on TikTok all reacting to it and getting people all mad about that. That was half of the PSYOP was the left reactions. And now we got to go after the hate speech. We have to, that's just the irony of that. It's like, still blows my mind. Like the years of that we've been seeing from the one side, now you're doing the exact same thing. You're saying the exact same thing, but it's totally different because it's, you know, It's this kind of hate speech. It's this kind of online rhetoric that, you know, could lead to violence. Like, well, do you not remember what the whole thing about January 6th was? Was like all the people, all the J6ers that were like, you know, like you could go to jail because you were telling people to go into the Capitol.
Right.
Or you could go to jail because you were just saying certain things. That was their whole push from that side. They pushed that for so long. And now it's like, oh, yeah, our turn, I guess, is what people. It's amazing. Like the short, like just. Can't even think back that far.
Well, they've already got the guy coming out with the the guy looked completely AI, but somebody that was at the White House or at some press conference talking about his new program that would stop shootings before they happened.
Yeah, the Gideon guy.
Everybody's emails and their mm-hmm. social media posts, we'd get hit right away.
Right. Yeah.
They would craft whatever we say into a threat somehow, because I think what we're saying is a threat, but right now it's useful to them.
Right. Yeah. He came on Fox News right after the Catholic school shooting and was yep. like, he only announced it like a couple months ago on his little channel. It's weird. Cause I think that's another one where it's like, yeah, he's presenting himself as this little entrepreneur, you know, one man shop, or you know, he's just like a small guy, but he's already supposedly sold it to a bunch of like police departments and government yeah. agencies. So
did you see the video I pulled up the other day, Will? It was on some rap channel. I don't know how it ended up in my feed, but he was talking about a rapper that got hit in 2015. He got killed, and they said the Chicago police did it, and they showed that he was on a list because they were using an algorithm back in 2015, and he had a score of 500, which means he was going to shoot somebody or someone was going to shoot him. So he was too much of a problem. So that allegedly the cops shot him. But I didn't care about any of that story. All I cared about was the time and the paperwork. And I'm like, this is Palantir. This is Gotham right here. This is Gideon. It's and it pre-crime. Was 10 years ago.
Yeah, pre-crime. Yeah, pre-crime. We've been talking about this for, yeah, how many years? And it's like now they're putting the idea in people's heads. They are now getting people on board as we speak.
That's right.
That yesterday was science fiction and was crazy conspiracy talk. It's like, yeah, this is the social credit score.
Like UFOs. Like UFOs.
Yeah.
20 years ago. What are you talking? What are you, crazy? Wear a tinfoil hat. Now they're showing us every day all sorts of classified stuff, you know?
That was actually in the news while the Charlie Kirk stuff was going on, too. It's like they had another hearing or something.
Because they had a UFO that got shot with a Hellfire missile.
Right.
And apparently the UFO just glanced it off like it was nothing. A Hellfire, I've seen one do its job. They're brutal. It's crazy. But the whole story is nonsense. You know, they're showing two lights. And they're like, those two lights we're showing you, trust us. That's a UFO. That's a Hellfire. People like, it seems real. I believe that, you know?
Well.
Could you believe everything we were talking about 11 years ago? And what's happened since then, how much has come to pass. Like, it's a trip, dude.
It's weird to even stop and, you know, remember. I feel like we've forgotten so many of the things, even from this year. Like
I just asked Broken Reality. She's one of my mods right here. I just asked her the other day. I said, I have a favor, and it's a big one. Could you go back and list every event from the beginning of 2025, like January 1st till now, including airplanes simply falling out of the sky or rocketing out of the sky? Because you remember that we had that little time where every time you turned around, an airplane was just tipping over, flipping upside down, falling out of the sky. The regular events, and then of course the staged violence events, because they're going to pick up. They're not going to. They get their foot on the. With Charlie Kirk, now they're going to hit the floor. It's going to be every day. It's going to get ugly, people.
Yeah.
And someone said it in the chat. God's words are powerful. God's words. Prayer is the most powerful weapon invented. It's God's word, and not enough people do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
In my opinion.
Well, hopefully, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and there's no doubt that, I mean, he used COVID to wake up a lot of people and bring people to him who I've met quite a few of them just in the past few years who were just living their lives and were not, we're not seeking God. We're not, you know, whether they had believed in him once or maybe had never never really stopped and had a, you know, a real kind of serious, you know, retrospective kind of, you know, thought about, you know, what their life really means or what the, you know, but God uses those things to get our attention. He used all this stuff to get my attention and make me think about the truth of Scripture on a level that I just never had until I started looking into 9/11, and just, you know, the ramifications of it were terrifying, frankly. And you're trying to make sense out of the world that you live in, and
yep.
God uses that over and over and over again. I like most of the people that I know and talk to on a regular basis all kind of have a similar type story, even if the specific event or the specific thing is usually different, but it all kind of brings us into that same place of realizing that, yeah, like you can't believe just because it's on a screen or on the TV news. And that's sort of the biggest step, because we're so that's the whole programming, you know, in school and in society, is to just trust the institutions, trust the government, trust science. You know, I mean, you can't even, it's hard to even quantify, like, yeah, we were talking about scientism in those years following up to COVID. There's nothing we could have done to that compared to what COVID did to wake people up to the lie of scientism. Like that it's literally like a religion that people worship, this nebulous kind of, you know, just the scientists, right? Rather than the reality where it's like, yeah, they all, the whole peer-reviewed system and academia and all these corporations and the CDC and the FDA, it's all just a big corporate, you know, money talks. It's all driven by profit. It's all driven by a handful of individuals who control the research and control the way it's interpreted. And this is like all of it across the board. And so people have this, like, you know, this humanistic notion of like just the goodwill of mankind just working for the betterment of all, you know, and COVID just like blew that out of the water for so many people. And big for the time. People who refuse to see that, it's like they're almost kind of more blinded. That's the sad part, is that there's so many people who've been kind of shaken awake, and there's a lot of people who are just, they're almost even in more of a daze than ever, because they don't want to think about the ramifications of, like, you literally offered your body as just a test subject. You know, you literally just like to really, and this is kind of the whole mind game that the vaccine issue has been playing off of for years. And, you know, that was a big thing for me to come face to face with, like, almost 20 years ago as a parent. And yeah, this is trauma-based mind control. Like, again, yeah. And so, yeah, once you've kind of been broken out of that spell and you realize that, like, yeah, they've weaponized people. Again, that's like weaponized empathy, weaponized, you people want to do the right thing. They want to protect their children. They're told that this is how you protect your children. This is how you protect yourself and your loved ones. And you want to be a good parent and a good mom. And that's powerful, powerful sorcery. And, you know, they want to demonize you as, like, an anti-vaxxer is like, you might as well be a terrorist in their eyes to a lot of people. A lot of people in my own family still, like, can't go there.
Dude, tell me about it. Tell me. I hear you. I told you that. This is like, I told you this when I saw you, didn't I?
There's no getting around this. Like, I'm sorry, but this is, you know, if you care about pro-life, I mean, once you really learn what goes into those.
That's right.
It's like, you call yourself pro-life, then I'm sorry. This is stomach-churning reality stuff, but the truth is the truth, you know. Like,
dude, a family member, I'll leave it at that, literally just mentioned to me when I was home a couple of months ago, somebody in our family had a stroke because they took the Moderna vaccine, but I took the right one, so I'm safe. And I'm standing there waiting for the reaction, like, where is the outrage? Like, you traded the protection from a maybe cold and had a stroke, a life-changing event where you lost 50% of your vision, all sorts of other issues, The doctor straight up told them, yeah, that Moderna one, that was giving a lot of people strokes. They're actually telling people, and people will still do exactly what they're told the next time, because there will be a next time. You know what I mean? According to the World Economic Forum, another much more contagious one is on its way. So it's crazy, dude. It's crazy. And trying to warn people, they looked at you like you were the enemy, and that was part of the design. It was very well placed. It blew me away that people thought that we just had an epidemic, a pandemic that shut down the entire world. The entire world just came to a screeching halt. But don't worry, because scientists will whip up a new vaccine in, what, 4, 5, 6 months at warp speed, and everyone will take it. And people were literally telling them it was an mRNA. And we're trying to explain to them what that was. And they're like, they looked at us like we were the enemy. I got people that still don't talk to me to this day. And I've met tens of thousands. You can attest to it. Many people in the chat can attest to it because they've met me face to face during the lockdown that did not observe any of the COVID protocols, and nobody even got a cold, which is a freaky thing. Not even a cold anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. And they're going to do it again.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like it's, you know, not, it's like, I know people feel like we're beating a dead horse when you're like, that's ancient history. It's really not that long ago, but
it ain't that long ago, brother.
The idea that, yeah, this is why what's going on now, and understanding, like, yeah, somebody who's, you know, when we're talking about Trump and we're talking about all this mind control, these tactics, like, this matters. Like, this whole, there are big reasons to get everybody, especially on this side of the, you know, the Freedom Coalition, so to speak, the people that were, like, in many ways kind of the ones pushing back against the COVID protocols. It's like they want so bad to get them, like, I think that's what kind of that's why BLM happened in 2020 as well, because it was like the whole idea was to get people mad at the left and the Antifa and all that, rather than like the people who are locking you down and trying to, you know, inject your children and pregnant women and, you know, all that insanity. So it's like, they give you your heroes and they give you your villains, and then everything is presented in this dichotomy fashion. They frame the narrative so that it's like you got to pick a side, and it's always, you know, they don't care which one you go into as long as it's one of their, you know, pre-prescribed,
predetermined, you know, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
got you.
But it's like, yeah, the fact that just the fact that Trump is sitting there next to Bill Gates after everything we've seen go down,
right? Everything he said about Bill Gates, he put Bill Gates on blast many times.
If that doesn't like kind of show you that he's, yeah,
I think it did, because I'm seeing a lot of people going whiskey tango foxtrot.
Yeah.
Why is Trump sitting down? Not once, but twice. And then with all of Bill Gates' 32 pals.
All 33 of them. I know. It's like, you can't make this stuff up.
You can, apparently, because they type it up pretty well. They stick to the script.
Yeah.
At any rate. Well, I'm going to let you go. It's been over 2 hours. I am.
I know, right?
I'm freezing, even though it's 90-something degrees here. But the AC's been on. I can't reach it.
Where are you at, by the way?
I'm in Kentucky currently. I got to go pick something up from somebody in Missouri, and then I got to figure out which way.
All right, man.
But I will make it by once again. And anytime you feel up to doing this, I can always make time. I wanted to go live. I wanted to take a shower. I wanted to wash my clothes. This is such a phenomenal hotel room. You might be able to tell from the decor. I walked into the bathroom and I'm like, there's no shower head, dude. Someone just ripped it off. You know, like, this is such a quality place. But there's a mountain bike trail right there. But currently, I got it on video. The entire back of the hotel, the woods out there, is on fire big time. There's all sorts of military trucks.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So I'm like, I hope that doesn't spread. That would suck. That would be very inconvenient. Yeah.
Don't get stuck.
What a world, dude.
Right?
Oh, man. Will, I can't possibly thank you enough. Will from Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. We said we were going to do it, and we did it.
We did it, and this was probably, I guess God knew, like, yeah, there was a lot to talk about with the events of the past week, but.
Well, listen, if you got time tomorrow, I can do it again one more time tomorrow.
All right. We'll do it again soon. Probably not tomorrow, but.
All right. Cool.
It was awesome to just to kind of. I'm just not even very good at the whole live stream thing, but
actually you are. You're actually really good at the live stream.
I felt way more relaxed this time than 10 years ago or whatever.
Well, I was
so nervous that time. Yeah, it's just a whole different deal now. So I appreciate all your, you know,
at any rate,
with me on that.
It's all good, brother.
I love you, buddy.
Same here, brother.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Richie from Boston, Will from Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. It's been 2 hours, and we are out. Links will be below.